Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 19th day of November, 2018. I'm your host, Mark Call. And let's talk for the next half hour about what's going on, and it's pretty disgusting and almost unbelievable. If we hadn't been thoroughly prepped by the madness and corruption we've seen over the last few weeks, no doubt none of us would be willing to believe it at all. And I struggled with which of several candidates we should begin with today before I realized, wait a minute, here's how we really need to introduce it. Yesterday, Sunday, November 18th, was the 40th anniversary of one of the biggest mass suicides in history. The 40th anniversary, of course, of Jonestown, Guyana. The handiwork of a far-left socialist nutcase named Jim Jones and his socialist utopia there in the jungle, which is kind of like a mini Venezuela, come to think of it. But unlike that socialist paradise today, they literally drank the Kool-Aid. That's where the expression comes from, of course. And just in case you've forgotten or been public school indoctrinated, 40 years ago yesterday, the world was shocked, say the summaries, by the deaths of more than 900 people, a full third of them children, at the so-called People's Temple compound in Jonestown, Guyana, November 18, 1978. The charismatic and deranged leader of that cult, Jim Jones, orchestrated a mass murder under the guise of revolutionary suicide. Kind of sounds like what's going on in America today, doesn't it? By urging them to drink cyanide-laced punch, it's faster than GMOs, and to have the children drink it first. That way the parents would feel like there wasn't much worth living for anyway, and probably go along with the rest of the deal. Oh, and in a pattern that we're also seeing play out again, the population at large was, of course, pre-disarmed. The only people around with guns were Jim Jones's henchmen, who made sure that everybody drank the Kool-Aid, or else. Nowadays, they do it a bit more metaphorically, but the effect is the same. It just takes longer. But this demonic mentality seems to be willing to wait. At least they were for a while. I'll come back later, after the other stories I referenced a minute or so ago, to the cult mentality and the parallels that are oh so prevalent and increasingly obvious today. I do have one observation first, though. Guess where the socialist and power broker Jim Jones made his bones? And if you said San Francisco, either your memory's right or you've been paying attention today. Even though a lot of the records have now conveniently been lost, say some of the summaries, that would fully reveal the corrupting role of Jones and the People's Temple in San Francisco that made it the left-wing feces and needle-strewn socialist paradise it has now become. Some of the introduction and a bit of the conclusion I'm now going to continue with come from a piece on TheFederalist.com by senior contributor there, Stella Morabito, who wrote a piece entitled How to Recognize the Cult Mindset in Yourself and Others, and she references the Jonestown Massacre extensively. But key among her observations is this. Consider for a moment, she writes, today's culture, which is saturated with the constant agitation of political correctness. It rarely allows for any real discussion or debate with automatic vilification of those deemed politically incorrect. And sadly, this is especially true in the very place where there was once a tradition of people expecting to engage in real debate, the college campus. We can't deny that political correctness has a lot of disruptive effects on discourse. Do we even have that anymore? Such as inducing self-censorship that can cause us to feel socially and mentally isolated, manipulation of our basic fear of ostracism through the threat of smears, promotion of mob rule, and an authoritarian nature that promotes the power elites who uses it. Wait, doesn't that sound pretty cult-like? This acceptance of the anti-thought nature of political correctness is pretty much everywhere. 95% of the mass media promote it, 95% of celebrity culture, sick, promotes it, and obviously, on college campuses, the so-called academics are in 95% compliance with PC to the max. So basically, where she's headed is, we've got a society all prepped and ready to drink that Kool-Aid. They just need to get people disarmed and the guards posted. Which brings me now to the new news over the weekend and the fact that they're really working hard on that score. And if you haven't heard this story, you really need to. So pull up a chair, sit down, or if you're driving and listening in the car, pull off on the shoulder and listen carefully. Thankfully, I have seen this one all over the alternative web. Even Fox News picked it up. And we'll get to a couple of clips there in just a moment. But first, the background. This one's courtesy of Zero Hedge, under the headline about a socialist tyrant from California who threatens nukes if Americans don't hand over their guns, or else. Just days after taking back the House, and that's probably the best way to put it, a traitor from California who claims to be a lawmaker has proposed outlawing military-style semi-automatic assault weapons and forcing existing owners to sell their weapons, or else. And let me make a couple of things clear. Again, I think those of us who have an understanding of even the rudiments of what was once called the law in this country ought to know these things. If you can be forced at gunpoint to turn over what you thought was your property, it's not your property. A buyback under duress is not a lawful contract. But anyway you slice it, what we're talking about here sure as hell is infringement on a massive scale. In an op-ed published in USA Today entitled, "Ban Assault Weapons, Buy Them Back, Go After Resistors," Representative Sick Eric Swalwell of California opined that prior proposals to ban assault weapons, quote, would leave millions of assault weapons in our communities for decades to come, unquote. And just like the founders once tried to guarantee with what was called the supreme law of the land, before traitors put their hand on a Bible, like this guy, and lied through their teeth. The oathbreaker then proposes that the government should offer, it's not an offer, folks, if you can't refuse it, up to $1,000 for every weapon covered by the new ban. And remember when Hitler and Obama said, anybody tries to tell you we want to take your guns is a conspiracy theorist, and you can keep your doctor, too. Evidently, if they don't feel the need to hide outright voter fraud anymore, and Hitler can commit it and get away with it, why bother hiding treason, either? In the article, no doubt read by more than two witnesses, Eric Swalwell proposed that the government should offer up to 1,000 fiat dollars for every weapon covered by their new ban, estimating it would take about 15 billion bucks, but we can print that in minutes to buy back roughly 15 million weapons and then, quote, criminally prosecute any who choose to defy their tyranny by keeping what they thought were their weapons. The plot quickly thickened, though, because no shortage of people who can read the Constitution and history not only said you're a nutcase, they said you're trying to foment an outright civil war. John Cardillo wrote, make no mistake, Democrats want to eradicate the Second Amendment, ban and seize all guns, and have all real power rest with the state. These people, he continued, are dangerously obsessed with that power. Whereas Joe Biggs wrote, so basically, this guy wants a war, because that's what you'd get. And he continued, you're out of your mind if you think I'll give up my rights and give the government all the power. To which the traitor responded directly. Representative Eric Swalwell, replying to Joe Biggs, wrote, quote, and it would be a very short war, my friend. The government has nukes, too many of them, but they're legit. So let me get this straight, folks. Traitors with nukes is just fine, but honest American citizens with once God-given rights protected by the Second Amendment, their weapons are not legit. Something is horribly, grossly, and, yeah, once at least, unbelievably wrong here. And would you believe some of these are the same people who whined about Donald Trump having his finger on the button, and they want to kill millions? The traitor wasn't done yet, though, when Joe Biggs actually responded via tweet, quote, so our government would nuke its own country in order to take guns? Wow. And the oathbreaker then said, don't be so dramatic. You claiming you need a gun to protect yourself against the government is ludicrous. Oh, really? I think we've seen a demonstration of precisely why the founders put the Second Amendment in there. And I don't believe for a second this guy is truly that ignorant of the history, folks. I think he's a liar, an oathbreaker, and an outright traitor. And he's proving it. Let me continue the quote. But you seem like a reasonable person. If an assault weapons ban happens, I'm sure you'll follow the law. Unquote. Or, of course, we'll kill you without a second thought. Anybody else feel like the Kool-Aid has already been served? And more than a few folks are drinking deep? And remember, Jim Jones killed anybody that wouldn't drink up. So already today, your host has used a very serious word more than once. The word is treason. And let's go right to the Constitution, although it's clear people like this don't seem to think it still matters. And read Article 3, Section 3, where it tells us exactly how treason is defined in the supreme law of the land. Quote, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act. And gee, folks, I guess declaring it openly in an article read by thousands of people, at a minimum, ought to qualify there. And when it comes to the punishment, well, ask folks like Julius and Ethel Rosenberg what it includes. Although Hitler, who sold uranium and secrets to the very same people the Rosenbergs just sold nuclear information to, albeit with better proxies and plausible deniability, not to mention a compliant FBI, has pretty much made treason fashionable again. Let me say this before we continue. If we still had a Congress for these United States, and if they still bothered to read the Constitution, they would say, at a very minimum, that individuals like this should not be seated, and since we already know that he's a liar and the truth is not in him, they should not be allowed to put their hand on a Bible and take an oath that they've already said they intend to violate, and in the process, make war against the American people. At least people are waking up to it. Over the weekend, Dan Bongino talked about it with Fox News.
Well, social media erupted in response, with one user replying in part. So basically, Congressman Swalwell wants a war because that's what you would get.
The congressman responding with a tweet saying, "It would be a short war, my friend. The government has nukes, too many of them, but they're legit. I'm sure if we talked, we could find common ground to protect our families and communities."
I mean, this may be the single dumbest tweet in the history of the Twitters. Who tweets this?
Nobody, folks, is fit to sit in Congress, that's for sure.
No less a United States congressman. Now, just some background on this, though, Jedediah. Congressman Swalwell, months ago, had proposed the idea of legislation to confiscate firearms from legal gun owners, to take away weapons, to do it. So there's actual background to this story. So the story came up again, and that's how he got in this back and forth. But, he wants to run for president in 2020. Like, what's his slogan going to be? Like, Swalwell 2020, we've got the nukes? I mean, this is the liberal mindset.
And this is definitely drinking the Kool-Aid, 2018 style. Fox's Tucker Carlson also had this traitor on over the weekend, and yes, folks, he was a lot more polite to a man who's threatened to make war against Americans than I would have been.
We're continuing our extended conversation with Congressman Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California. So you've talked a lot about Russia, but you've also become known for your position on guns, and you're one of the very few Democrats, I think, who's been honest about that. You say that the U.S. government ought to ban a certain species of rifle. You wrote a piece about this. This is not a secret view you have. You wrote it in USA Today. And you say this: we should ban possession of military-style semi-automatic assault weapons. We should buy back such weapons from all who choose to abide by the law.
Full stop here for just a second. Abide by the law. That's a funny turn of phrase, isn't it? So let me quote Amger, Section 177 again. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is in fact wholly void and ineffective for any purpose. Well, except maybe for killing a lot of people and starting a civil war. Its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment and not merely from the date of the decision, so branding it. An unconstitutional law in legal contemplation is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. And it goes on at some length, saying, among other things, that it is void. It imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, and justifies no acts performed under it. Unquote. So back to Tucker Carlson's interview of a man who should not ever be called a representative, much less allowed to sit in Congress.
We should ban possession of military-style semi-automatic assault weapons. We should buy back such weapons from all who choose to abide by the law. And we should criminally prosecute any who choose to defy it by keeping their weapons. So we should confiscate this entire class of firearms. What do you think would happen if the federal government tried to do that?
Well, Tucker, did you read the op-ed?
I did. I just quoted from it extensively.
Yeah. I'm not calling for a confiscation.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That is, of course, an outright lie, if you understand what the concept of private property once meant, and, of course, what shall not be infringed was supposed to mean, too.
What I'm saying is we should invest in a buyback, that we should restrict any weapons that aren't bought back to gun clubs, hunting clubs, shooting ranges, keep them there where it's safe, not on our streets.
And where you peons won't be able to get to them when we do what always comes next.
And if you were caught, just like if you were caught, you know, with drugs or anything else, if they had probable cause to go into your home and you had one of these weapons, yeah, you'd be prosecuted. I've never suggested sending troops
out.
Okay, I'm going
to quote
collecting,
an old friend of mine called Eric Swalwell. He's a congressman from California on the Intel Committee.
Good
if you
guy.
Can get back in the screen, please. I'm just going to quote once again. And we should buy back those weapons, and I'm quoting, criminally prosecute any who choose to defy it by keeping their weapons. So you're going to prosecute people who don't give up their weapons. That's gun confiscation.
If they're caught with them, yeah. We're not sending troops door to door.
So what do you think would happen? I mean, do you think, because, of course, the overwhelming majority of those people are law-abiding, have committed no crime, have no plans to commit a crime. You would instantly turn them into felons. Do you think that you would have a civil war? Are you worried about that?
What do you think will happen if we do nothing? You think more kids will be killed?
Of course they will. They've already shown they're more than willing to kill a few kids or create a civil war in the interest of disarming the entire population and sending everyone to the very same place that Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, and any other dictator who needed to disarm the populace first before having their evil way with them has shown is so effective. And even though it's politically incorrect, remember, folks, the Battle of Lexington and Concord did, in fact, start when the British king decided to try to disarm the colonists there. And the result was the shot heard round the world. So let's hear Carlson read that quote again.
And we should buy back.
Whoa, time out. Let's make this clear. You're not buying anything if it's under duress. Don Corleone, the Godfather, knew it, even if this criminal mob boss won't admit it.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And we should buy back those weapons, yeah. And I'm quoting, criminally prosecute any who choose to defy it by keeping their weapons. So you're going to prosecute people who don't give up their weapons. That's gun confiscation.
If they're caught with them, yeah.
We're not sending troops door to door.
What a lying, traitorous cretin. We're not sending troops door to door. Now we're just committing mass theft and the wholesale gang rape of not just part, but basically all of the Bill of Rights.
Do you think that you would have a civil war? Are you worried about that?
Of course he does. He knows it, and that's why he won't answer the question.
What do you think will happen if we do nothing?
Let me ask his question the right way, folks. What do you think will happen if we do nothing? If we let treason in plain sight sit in Congress, put its hand on a Bible, and lie through his damnable teeth when he commits treason, promises war against the American people, and says, you don't have any rights, we're taking them away, yes, at gunpoint, and if you dare to say no, we'll nuke you. I've said this before, folks, fairly often, and regular listeners have probably heard me demonstrate it. You really want to torque me off, and I hope it upsets everybody out there just as much. Put your hand on a Bible and lie, especially if it's about something that's really important, like just how many millions of people you intend to kill. Yeah, it does get under my skin, more than a little bit. And anybody who ever fought, and in some cases died, to protect those rights knows what we're talking about here. So traitors like this, who fully intend and openly admit exactly that, they're going to steal those rights from you, and yes, they are willing to kill to make it so, more than deserves everything the real law specifies for that kind of treason. Next, a bit of good news, still related to treason and bad news, and you'll see what I mean. First, the good part of the news. Dateline Fort Lauderdale, Reuters, Rick Scott, Florida's outgoing governor, was declared the winner on Sunday of the hard-fought and almost stolen U.S. Senate race against the incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson, following a hand recount of the ballots. Nelson finally conceded. Republicans will now hold both Senate seats from Florida, the third most populous U.S. state. And other stories tell us that the wannabe socialist governor of Florida, Andrew Gillum, after unconceding, has finally reconceded and will allow Ron DeSantis to live in the governor's mansion. Here's part of the bad news. Because Reuters and the rest of the waste stream is still parroting stuff like this. Republicans, including President Donald Trump, made allegations without offering evidence, yeah, sure, that the recount process was marred by fraud. Folks, when it comes to without offering evidence, you need to look at the witch hunt involving Robert Mueller, the dreaded Ruskies, and a whole bunch of warrantless wiretaps and other unconstitutional searches that didn't need any evidence at all to get started, as evidence has now revealed. As for the almost but not quite successful Florida fraud and the fake news claims of no evidence because, you know, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Here's the headline from Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit that puts that one to the lie. They actually went through and accumulated a bunch of the evidence, certainly by no means all of it. Broward County Elections Supervisor, the corrupt and incompetent Brenda Snipes, has been accused of corruption and incompetence no less than 14 times prior to the 2018 evidence of the same. Other evidence? On election night, Brenda Snipes reported, well, originally, that there were 634,000 votes cast in the midterm election in her county. By last week, Friday morning, Snipes said, oh, so sorry, 717,000, well, she wasn't sorry, but 717,000 votes were cast in the same midterm election, and Broward County Democrats had mysteriously come up with 83,000 new votes in just 2 days. You probably remember, if you don't listen to CNN, the numerous videos of trucks and private vehicles and all kinds of chicanery around that, including Florida Representative Matt Gaetz being literally talked to by Florida police and basically told, no, you're not allowed to investigate this. Over the weekend, of course, we learned that several thousand votes were lost. Guess they didn't get the memo about you were supposed to put a D rather than an R in there, and she still hasn't explained how any of this has happened. Whereupon they reveal the entire list of all the times that the criminal Brenda Snipes has been accused of criminal activity up to and including this year's election. Things like illegally destroying ballots, not mailing out absentee ballots, systematic breakdowns making it difficult for the wrong kind of Floridians to cast votes, posting of election results before the polls even closed, being sued for leaving amendments off the ballots, not notifying voters that their absentee ballot had expired. Let's not forget the piles and piles of ballots that just kept cropping up well after Election Day. Having staffers campaign while they were still on the clock, and so on and so forth, including ballot stuffing, defective ballots, and opening ballots, or doing something at least with them, in private. Transparency, thy name is not Broward County. But distraction and keeping people's minds focused on the one really obvious election fraud, while so much other election fraud and illegal voting seem to happen all over the place, literally amounting to a socialist wave, regardless of what the voters might actually have selected. Hey, how are you going to know anyway? From rampant fraud on the left coast, like California and Arizona, not to mention more fraudulent, unconstitutional gun control in the state of Washington, to a Democrat elected by, not the votes, but by algorithm in Maine. Well, the allegations of fraud, and yes, the evidence too, were legion. But Florida, because of the corruption and incredible, as a matter of fact, too incredible to even believe, incompetence in Broward County, seemed to pretty well take the heat off the other corruption, incompetence, and vote fraud everywhere else. Kind of like a great big bellicose scapegoat. So yeah, let's call it more good news and bad news. Here's the good news. We'll look at the Daily Mail summary because it's a great headline. Beleaguered Broward County Elections Supervisor, the criminally incompetent Brenda Snipes, and yes, I put that in there, folks, resigned just hours after finally submitting recounted votes following a series of embarrassing blunders, including loss of, yeah, more than 2,000 ballots. And as you now know, they didn't get away with stealing the Senate slot there in the governor's mansion. But while all that fraudulent distraction was going on, the socialists did manage to slip in at least one senator and more than a dozen extra Congress critters in all kinds of other, contested races. So, as the old saying goes, they're laughing all the way to the Capitol, slapping themselves on the back and saying, hey, job's well done. And Brenda Snipes didn't quite fall on her sword. No, she handed in her resignation just hours after that final vote recount. And as the Daily Mail admits, her 15-year career as election supervisor has been dogged by accusations of incompetence, bias, legal disputes, and, of course, botched elections. And she seems to have taken the heat not only this year, but also back in 2000, because Broward County was one of the four that became infamous during that Hanging Chad presidential election. So the good news, good riddance, and the bad news, yeah, not only did everybody else get away with it, but now that she's resigned, there's no mention of criminal fraud prosecution either. And if that sounds really, really familiar, folks, as well as more than a bit disgusting, well, we're all on the same page here. So I close with a question. Which is more important? Criminal election fraud that undermines, for those with eyes to see, the entire process? Or criminals who either are or aren't elected, but put their hands on the Bible, lie, and then commit open, outright treason, while they undermine the entire basis of the rule of law in a country that no longer seems to even care what's happening to it? There's a moral here, folks, and a real problem, and it's not going to be fixed with another election. Thanks for joining us today. Know who you serve, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.